everybody. This is Pastor Buddy, and I'm joining you live tonight around the world on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel, transmitting Joel the South. Located right here in the great state of Tennessee, and we're transmitting tonight all over the world live. We're glad to have you in here, and we appreciate you and spending your time with Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. We're sponsored tonight by Dr. Gary and Brother Paul, and we're glad to come to you. We've got a great program, part three of The Worm That Lives in the Dark Hole, the emergence in the last days of the satanic influence. The world is just like it was in the days of Noah. They were eating and drinking, and they were being merry. They were race mixing. They were running to and fro, seeking rest and finding none. We've got the same thing going today. We've got the electronic age. We've got everything of the conveniences that man could deem for himself. We got a television. Some of the most filthiest, ungodliest stuff that comes through, piped right into your home, and people are addicted and hooked on it. They go to bed every night, get up every morning, and they see all these things. It is something that it teaches your children wrong and things of this nature, and sets their mind right in the gears of Satan. And of course, Satan is the prince of the air. He transmits as a lost dark angel, yet he comes over as the angel of light. Man, tonight you don't want to miss. We're going on to we're going to play you some segments tonight, if you will, of what your government really thinks about what's going on in the world today. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the 20 and 12 is on everybody's mind practically? Roland Emmerich, the producer of the film and the director of 20 and 12, has popularized this date on a planetary scale now, because 20 and 12 is playing very timely. You think it's by coincidence? I don't think so. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the devil, including the government, is about 25 years ahead of you on the information scale. And we're regulated to only know what the elite, the Illuminati, wants us to know. The date of the 20 and 12, it's the greatest magnitude of a possible veritable world ship. The ripples from this ship are already creating waves, washing up on the shores of our unconscious. December the 21st, 2012, what does it really mean? Well, you're going to find out tonight, ladies and gentlemen, as we go into this account. I want you to listen as we play you about a 9-minute segment of what your scientists are discussing, what is being discussed actually behind closed doors, and 20 years ago, and now it's a reality. We're at the point now where they don't care what you know, because you can't do nothing about it. And the Bible says the time will come upon you unaware, like it did the days of Noah and the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. We're right here in it, ladies and gentlemen. We're gonna talk to you tonight a little bit about it. Stay tuned.
And it's a very real possibility.
Of course it is. We have taken geological samples up near the Arctic Circle that show a very broad range of alignments of the poles of the Earth. Now, these alignments occur when lava comes up through the crust and then it freezes. It assumes the magnetic alignment of the Earth at that time. Well, when we go up near the Arctic Circle, we see these tectonic spectrums of north and south pole alignments in mountains and in rock that hasn't moved for hundreds of thousands of years. And guess what? Sometimes it shows the north as south and the south as north. And And this is, you know, according to the Coriolis effect, something that could occur rather quickly, like in a matter of days, the North and South Poles could switch. Now, we could talk a little bit about what the effects would be on the surface of the planet.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'd love to know, because there's some people, I've asked this question, Brooks, many times. Some people believe that we could go instantly. Other people think it's gradually, and some people think nothing will happen at all, which I don't believe. I think it'll be pretty drastic.
There's too much evidence that the poles do shift, North and South poles do shift, and if the core is detached from the crust, as we believe, and the core is thus counter-rotating against the crust, creating our powerful magnetic field, which we call a magnetosphere, if all those things are true and line up, then we are setting ourselves up, or the planet is set up, to do a Coriolis flip, that the North and South poles could flip. And I mean in somewhere between 72 hours and 5 days, this flip could be complete. Now, it doesn't take an atmospheric physicist to understand what's going to happen, but I'll explain it briefly. The North Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere have different weather patterns. For instance, if you drain water down the tub in Australia, it goes clockwise
right.
instead of counterclockwise and opposite up here. Well, the jet stream does exactly the same thing. Clouds move counterclockwise and clockwise in different areas, and so do the oceanic currents. If all of those things move and move suddenly, you're going to have conditions set up for what's called a global superstorm. Now, these are snowstorms, but they're not ordinary snowstorms. They are super cold, and they cover large geographic areas.
And in terms of the intensity, how intense is it?
Well, according to what we've uncovered in the book, and this goes back 26,000 years as far as we can gather data, we could be facing winds of 300 miles an hour. And those winds could last for a month or more.
That would knock down practically everything.
Once you got sand and glass and rocks moving at that speed, it would literally sandblast areas of the planet.
And we are talking planetary-wide, right?
Yes. Well, there'll be corridors where the winds are going that high. In the northern most and southernmost areas, the winds won't be that high, but I would say from about 35 degrees north and 35 degrees south, the winds will be the highest.
Will we see this coming, Brooks?
Well, we're already seeing it coming. The hurricanes are getting much, much more intense. Straight-line winds, what are called errant tidal waves, these are huge waves, 100-foot-high waves that race around the planet at 400 to 500 miles an hour. Now, fortunately, the ocean's deep, so they don't, you know, crest and crash, but there are ocean liners that are reporting these errant tidal waves that go racing around the planet, and now the frequency's up to more than one a month.
One a month?
Yes, more than one a month, and this is reported by ocean liners that are out at sea. I know two people that have been on two separate cruises where 900-foot-long ships have almost been turned on their sides at sea.
And your projection of wind speed, for example, 300 miles an hour, that could be a low projection.
It could be, yes. Of course, wind is asymptotic in the sense that it can only go so fast, and then it starts crunching up against the sound barrier. But 300 or 400 mile an hour winds, which is roughly double what you see in a tornado. And, you know, look at the tornadoes just in the last 8 weeks in the U.S. They've been devastating. Iowa has been flooded.
St. Louis area has been.
St. Louis area, correct. And also up in Maine, they've had bitter cold temperatures. In fact, here in Washington State, they had the coldest, longest winter they've ever seen. More snow than ever.
Could this trigger an ice age?
It could, and it's funny because ice ages, it's believed in the past, sort of creep up on you. That's not the way they occur at all. Ice ages occur suddenly. They drop 8 to 10 feet of snow. It doesn't melt off during the summer. It reflects a lot of energy back out into space, which is called the albedo effect. Right now, Earth is warming because it's absorbing energy, and from the sun and from other sources. But when it reflects that energy out into space, it cools. Now, that occurs two ways. One is if we get very high cloud cover. That is usually accompanied by cosmic radiation during high solar flare activity. Right now, we have no solar flare activity. There's been no sunspots appreciable for months.
Scientists are getting concerned about that.
Yes, and we thought that solar cycle 24 had started. We saw a high latitude reverse polarity sunspot 3 months ago, but we really haven't seen any follow-ups. And now we've seen sunspot 1000 from solar cycle 23, and they're rather benign and they're small and they don't even last during one revolution of the sun. So, and we're seeing very low solar winds, 300 or 400 kilometers a second, and very low proton counts, which means we're really not receiving that much cosmic radiation from the sun, at least in the wavelength that would cause high-altitude clouds, which would cause the Earth to cool. However, we are beginning to start solar cycle 24, and if it starts in earnest and does what solar scientists think it's going to do, along around 2012, it is going to be intense. We're talking X-class flares above 7, maybe as high as 9 on a regular basis. This could cause high-altitude cloud cover and really rapid cooling of the Earth.
Edgar Cayce predicted Earth changes on this planet, specifically at a map of North America. It looks like half of the United States is underwater. You think this is very possible?
It is possible, and it has happened before. If you look at the topsoil distributions of the United States, much of the United States has been underwater before. The mineral deposits that are laying right now in farmland across our continent indicate that much of the United States was underwater or under ice at one time. That could happen again. And it doesn't necessarily happen from melting ice caps, because obviously ice floating in water, when it melts, does not raise the water level. Just like ice cubes in a glass melt, actually the water level goes down in the glass instead of comes up, because ice takes up more space in the glass. But interestingly enough, it does add a lot of fresh water to the ocean, and that changes the salinity, which changes the amount of solar radiation it absorbs. When it does that, the Gulf Stream begins to move, and when it moves, it begins to come inland. That's why this planet, or this continent anyway, up around the Mason-Dixon line, should be largely underwater, except for the mountain ranges.
So Cayce might be right.
He very well could be right.
And we're beginning to see a lot of, with the catastrophes, how we cannot handle even some flooding cases in various parts of this country. We can't handle it.
No, not enough sandbags to hold back. And we're just talking about holding back rivers. Try to hold back the Gulf of Mexico when it comes up the Mississippi River.
You can't do it. You can't do it at all.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this is some of the scientists that are predicting. We're going to get into some of NASA. That's the official government site. And you're going to find out exactly what they think about it, what they've predicted. These are dire consequences, if so be, that we have these things come aboard. Now we're going to...
They could be
the Fox News.
Immediate than the threat of global warming, they say. Earth's magnetic field, which acts as our protective shield in space, has a hole in it. And that could put a lot of our earthly functions at risk. Dr. Michio Kaku, professor and author of the book Physics of the Impossible, is back with us. Professor, how are you? Good morning to you.
Glad to be on the show.
Thanks. Twice in 1 week, man. It's bonus hour.
Mm-hmm.
What is this solar shield?
Well, every 11 years, the sun has a temper tantrum. It releases a shockwave, a tsunami of radiation that could wipe out communication, weather satellites, GPS, a spy satellite, you name it, it's up there in outer space.
So you're saying that my BlackBerry won't work?
The internet, box, television, cable, satellite, TV, all of it could get wiped out around 2012. That's when we have the peak of the sunspot cycle. That's when the sun's magnetic field flips. North Pole and South Pole flip, releasing a shockwave of radiation, which will then hit the Earth minutes later, potentially wiping out a good chunk of our satellite communications. We're watching it very carefully now.
Well, Doc, this happens how often, you say?
Every 11 years.
Well, why an 11-year cycle?
It takes 11 years for the magnetic field of the sun to build up enough intensity to begin the flip process because it slowly revolves in a circle. It's like winding up the windings of a clock. If you wind up the mainspring of a clock too much, it boing, comes out of control. Same thing with the sun's magnetic field. It literally flips every 11 years, releasing a shockwave of radiation, and that means we have to start to think about reinforcing our satellites, building redundant systems, because it means that GPS, the power grid, weather satellites, communication satellites, satellite television, all of that could get disrupted, peaking around 2012.
Well, so your point is we can't do anything about it in space, but we can do something back here on Earth.
That's right.
But backup systems, are companies really doing that?
Well, they're going to have to do it because, see, we scientists made a mistake. We thought that the next cycle was going to be quiet. Well, some of our data was off by a factor of 20, and that's why we're issuing this alert now. We made a mistake. The next cycle, peaking around 2012, will be much more serious than we previously thought. Now, in the past, we dodged the bullet because we didn't have that many satellites up there 11, 22 years ago. Back in 1990, we didn't have that many space satellites.
Well, that makes sense to me. But, you know, I'm listening to you talk. I'm thinking, why 2K? I'm thinking it's all just a tactic that put a lot of fear in a lot of people. It may have gotten us ready, but there was really no danger in the end.
Well, let's hope that it's a dud. Let's hope that nothing happens. However, what if? What if our communication systems are wiped out? Billions of economic activity could be.
Do you think anyone's taking this seriously?
I think we're going to have to. These physicists are now sounding the alert. We made a mistake. We made the wrong projection. The next solar cycle will be more intense than previously thought. And an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Now's the time to begin to create redundant systems, reinforce our satellites,
I got
build backup systems.
All right. Michio Kaku, the word is out. You know, if you render my BlackBerry useless, that's okay. I'm ear loud. Do that for a while, and we'll bring it back.
Okay.
Thank you, Doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Nice to know.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, this...
Today's guest is back, you might say, by popular demand.
This newscaster is worried about, basically he's worried about his BlackBerry. Now, you may have more things to worry about when the time comes, so we need to get ready when the pole shift, if we have one, and science is heavily in favor of it. And notice what your Messiah said. He says something that goes like this: the powers of the heavens will definitely be shaken. Well, ladies and gentlemen, if the powers are going to be shaken, why then should we not believe that we're having some problems here? And we are, if we believe the word of Yahweh. Let's go to NASA here and get a little bit of what they say.
Buddy, the sun is the source of all life, and it could mean the end of life as we know it. NASA did a study, and its findings are now out. We're not talking about global warming. A brand new government study on the very real destructive threat of solar storms. Check it out. The surface of the sun, a roiling mass of plasma and charged high-energy particles. As we move to the launch pad, we can show exactly what we mean, escaping the surface of the sun and traveling through space to areas down here on Earth. Now, this giant fireball, if that ball hit the Earth and its magnetic shield, it would be devastating. I want to show you New York City at night. Times Square, drove through here at 8 o'clock last night. Streets are empty, but the electric power grid would be wiped out by the current. Lights and computers, transportation, hospitals, all would go down. The study warns it would be a disaster, far worse than anything we have seen before. The menace of these sunstorms poses a bigger threat to more high-tech and advanced countries like the U.S. Everything from our sewage systems to our Wall Street banks operate with our power grid. And a game-changing solar storm that could hit at any time. So how worried should we be? Sounds like we should be. Michio Kaku is an astrophysicist and author of The Physics of the Impossible. Sir, good morning to you. Welcome back here.
Glad to be on your show. Now, what I'm reading here scares me to death. Should I be that way?
That's right. We're talking about a potential Katrina from outer space. Katrina caused about $100 billion in property damage. And unless we begin to make efforts now to reinforce our satellites and power grids, we could have something maybe 10 times bigger than Katrina, because we're talking about the loss of all electricity and all satellite activity. We'd be thrown 100 years back into the past.
Michio, has this happened before?
In 1859, we had a humongous storm that wiped out telegraph poles, and we tried to then estimate what kind of power could do that. And we now realize that we are very young in the space age. If something like the 1859 storm hit again, it would literally paralyze all the United States, not just for a day or an hour, but for months to years. A transformer would short circuit and burn out. Satellites would be fried to a crisp. And the sun, however, has these storms every 11 years. Every 11 years, the magnetic field flips. But in 2012, we do expect perhaps another big one.
Well, we have never before in our history, in human history for that matter, relied so much on technology as we do today. And that's part of what they found in the study, because we rely so much on our ability to communicate through our computers that they would all go down, which would handicap not just New York, but really the eastern half of the United States. That's what the study finds, which would be far worse than the blackout of New York from 4 years ago, Michio.
That's right. Those blackouts only last for a few hours to a day. But if you start to short-circuit all the transformers and blow out the satellites and fry the communications grid, then you're talking about knocking out the United States for months before we can get enough rescue crews and repairmen to handle not just one city, but hundreds of cities around the United States.
You know, Michio, sometimes you come on here and you sound like the Doctor of Doom and Gloom. Does something like this keep you up at night?
It does, and I think with Katrina, you know, engineers knew that Katrina could happen, but they did nothing because they said that it's not going to happen while I'm around. Well, now we learned the lesson. You have to prepare for things, especially when you know that at some point it's inevitable that we're going to have another big one, like we had back in 1859, except this time we're totally dependent on electricity.
Michio, thank you. Hope to see you in person next time. We'll take you on the phone if we can. Michio Kaku, thank you for your time today. 1859. I mean, we're going back 150 years on that, Megan. Now he's wondering about 2012. Watch for this story.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you watch for this story. There's a lot of indications that something is going to happen, whether it be just a pole shift of the magnetic core, or whether we're going to have a continents slipping on the molten magma and the things of this nature that we've had in the past. There is records. There's records that the United States has been underwater, partially submerged. That was predicted, as you heard by Edgar Casey, one of the great psychics of our time. And so if we're going to have these enormous events, listen again to what the Messiah said, the heavens will be shaken. Our theme of the book of Isaiah in chapter 13, verse 13, confirmed by the Messiah of Matthew chapter 24, who has been right on. It's amazing how accurate the Bible is and how timely, and the Mayan calendar. They have talked about these things before, well, since they began their time count, which was 31 B.C., 31 B.C., ladies and gentlemen, and then they predicted the events that there could be some catastrophic happenings around 20 and 12. The scientists are worried, are you? Let's listen.
What places can you offer me today?
An obscure body in the SK system, Your Majesty. The inhabitants refer to it as the planet Earth.
How peaceful it looks.
Oh,
effective, Your Majesty. We'll destroy this first.
Later. I like to play with things a while before annihilation.
Going to end in 2012, or is there going to be some kind of major shift in cycles of history? That remains an open question.
And the newest version of the 2012 Doomsday Prophecy comes from an oracle that isn't even human. Its inventors call it the Webbot Project. It began in the late 1990s as a program to predict possible stock futures.
Anytime anybody makes an investment, they're at the same time making a prediction about the future.
Business consultant George Yore worked with partners and developed a program that uses independent mini-programs called spiders, or agents, to comb the Internet for hints of future financial news. The concept behind the webbots is that massive scans of language will reveal a direct connection to the collective unconscious and a hint of the future.
It's almost a window into the universal subconscious mind.
However it works, the webbots' track record is impressive.
August 2004, we made a prediction about earthquakes. We predicted 300,000 dead, the water rising, which turned out to be the tsunami in December of 2004.
The webbots also foretold the anthrax attacks in Washington, D.C. in 2001, the massive East Coast power outage of 2003, the destruction of Hurricane Katrina in 2005. But it's the webbots' prophecies for the future that are most disturbing.
If the webbots are correct, then we should see a series of escalations leading to, I don't like to say it, but something like limited nuclear war in 2008-2009 kind of time frame.
According to the webbots, a series of catastrophes reaches its peak in the year 2012. In the ancient world, the most highly regarded psychics were called oracles.
An oracle is an individual who has some kind of prophetic connection with a god or God himself.
One of the most important oracles of the ancient world was based in the Roman Empire. She was called the Sibyl. She lived in a cave in Cumae, near modern-day Naples, around the 6th century B.C.
Statesmen, aristocrats, figures from the upper echelon of Roman society would go and consult the Sibyllian prophecies about all kinds of things, ranging from war to statecraft to domestic concerns.
Before giving her prophecies, the Sibyl would go into a trance in which it was said the god Apollo would take over her body.
The god possessed the Sibyl. She made utterances, often in this furious altered state. One of the remarkable things about the Sibyl is that she wrote her pronouncements on oak leaves. But if the oak leaves blew in the wind, they were not reassembled, so the messages were often scrambled.
The Sibyl's prophecies were collected in a series of scrolls and housed in the Temple of Jupiter. They were considered the most important religious books of ancient Rome. Among the Sibyl's prophecies was a distant apocalypse. She predicted the world would last for 9 periods of 800 years each. The 10th generation would begin approximately 2000 A.D., and it would be the last.
These things in the 10th generation shall come to pass. The earth shall be shaken by a great earthquake that throws many cities into the sea. There shall be war. Fire shall come flashing forth from the heavens, and many cities burn. Black ashes shall fill the great sky. Then know the anger of the gods. The Sibylline Oracle, Book 4.
In the 6th century B.C., the Sibyl predicted the invasion of Italy by Hannibal 700 years before it happened. And she predicted his ultimate defeat. She predicted the rise of the Emperor Constantine by name 800 years before he was born. But her greatest prophecy gave her a place of honor among early Christians.
In Virgil's 4th Eclogue, he has the Sibyl give a prophecy of a new age coming, a new golden age, and a child who would be born who would initiate this say around 20 BC. Later on, Christians took this as a prophecy of Christ.
The Sibyl's prophecy of the coming of Jesus, 20 years before his birth, caused her to be revered by early Christians. And even Michelangelo gave her a prominent place in the Sistine Chapel. No one knows how the Sibyl saw into the future, but a new archaeological discovery suggests that the source of her prophecy was not God, but gas. The evidence comes from another oracle of the ancient world, this one at Delphi, Greece.
The most famous of all of the oracles was the oracle at Delphi. At Delphi, it is thought that the god Apollo could inspire a person who could be a priestess of Apollo to foresee the future.
Delphi is a small village about 100 miles from modern-day Athens. From the 8th century B.C. to the 4th century A.D., pilgrims traveled there from throughout the Mediterranean to pose questions to the priestesses of Apollo.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's so strange that in these things that we talk about here and we're listening to, that these are obviously not children of the faith. They're not prophets. However, if you go back to the time that Saul was seeking a message from Yahweh, he consulted a medium, a witch, at Endor, and she had the power. Now, listen to this. I'll show you how much power these people have got. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, these dark ones, these seers, these familiar spirits can pick up. It's just like the mass consciousness of a wicked people that have a defiled conscience of the things that are to come. The Bible talked about that type of people, that they would have a lot of fear. And the Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And in this sense, Saul sought the witch, promising her life, wouldn't kill her, because he had put out an order to kill all of the familiar spirit witches of that area. And he let her live by tricking her into calling up Samuel. Now, the question is, did she have that power? She didn't have that power, but she worked on a universal law. There is a thin veil between those who are on this planet and those who have passed over to the other side. It's a thin veil. There's no death. All is life for those who have become either a victim of death or, if you will, a victim of life. Now, in that sense, I want you to listen to this. Yahweh told the king Saul through Samuel, after she disquieted him, he was at rest, and she contacted him, and she saw his image and shape. She saw his mouth. She knew as a prophet, and he spoke to her and directly to Saul through her and said, "What do you mean to disquiet me?" He said, "Well, since you have gone, Yahweh's word has ceased." Did you know that Yahweh's word practically has ceased upon the earth? And the Bible says that there shall come a famine in the land, not for bread or water, but for hearing the word of Yahweh. I'm talking about the living word, the prophets. They're misunderstood, they're misquoted, they're persecuted, they're attacked daily, their message is cast to the ground, and still the world prospers in the system that Satan has designed and set up. That's got to fall. There's coming a day, listen to me well, if you're not prepared, just like the warning of the scientists that have no religious affiliations and have no reason it's everything that they can see, hear, touch, smell, and feel, and the God of knowledge that feeds them. They don't take into account the message that Yahweh can send from the other side through one of his dead prophets. And remember, in Yahweh, nobody dies. Samuel wasn't dead. He was alive. On the other side, through that thin veil that I spoke of, listen to this. And Samuel said, what do you want? Are you wanting something? Are you wanting something from me? And the Bible says that he said, yes. He said, since that you have departed, I haven't got any word from the king, Yahweh. And Samuel said, well, what do you want to know? And he said, well, really? He said, I want to know what's going on. What's going to happen? And he said, do you really want to know, Saul? Yeah, well, tell me. I really want to know. We're in a battle here, and I've got to get a word from Yahweh. I'm in a fix. I'm between a rock and a hard place. Please tell me. See the anxiety of those who are not in the know. The Bible said you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And yet, the people that are teaching the truth, what's it? Who are those people? Well, they are rejected. Nobody's kind to them. They're not a centrally organized world religion. They're nothing to brag about. They're the underground. They're the cast out the misfits. And Samuel said, I'm going to tell you something, Saul. If you want a word of prophecy, I'll give it to you tomorrow about this time. I mean, he had less than 24 hours. You may have less than 24 hours to figure these things out. Death is sure. And be sure your sins find you out. Are you prepared? Are you praying? Do you know the plan? Saul, you're going to join me over here on this side about this time tomorrow. You and your sons. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's amazing that a prophet who could speak beyond the grave, he could actually tell what was in the future. This is a prophet of Yahweh. Now, remember, it's a thin line between good and bad. And sometimes the bad, the children of darkness, have more wisdom than the children of light. The children of light are far too superstitious, ignorant, unlearned. They've never fasted a week in their life. They can't grasp what's going on. And it's, like I said, it's a thin line. And you've got to be able to discern the times. Like Samuel said, tomorrow you're going to join me. And sure enough, the next day in battle, Saul's sons were killed. The battle was going against Israel. And Saul seen that his defeat was sure. And he couldn't stand the thoughts of falling into the enemy's hands. And he begged his armor bearer to kill him. He was slightly wounded. And the armor bearer refused to do so. And Saul fell and committed suicide upon his own sword. Sometimes you can get information that you don't need, ladies and gentlemen. And let me tell you something here. If the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, if they'd have known that those two men that came in, that these perverts and the whole city, the mayor, I'm telling you, we're now electing perverts around the country, ladies and gentlemen, just like it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. If they'd have known that those two mighty ones, the Elohim, the council, the high council, the ones, the watchers, the ones that really know what's going on. Now, you got good and bad, and the good ones are not going to come before the bad. You're going to get the bad before the good, like I have been predicting, and that's why I'm teaching on 20 and 12. You need to know the whole story. It's not as it's cracked up to be. Now, Satan is now preparing mass hysteria, fear. You see, he capitalizes on fear. He's just like a wild animal. Like a snake, it's charmed a bird with fear. It can't move. It's paralyzed. And that's the way Satan wants this whole world and the days that he's going to come from the heavens. Now, the one that's in the dark hole, and I've told you about the point of crossing, and
and the a time is not the end of the world. Don't worry about it, ladies and gentlemen. You'll never know what day that is, so nobody can predict that day. But let me tell you something for sure. Before Yahweh comes, you can rest assured that Satan comes to set up his universal kingdom. Now, in order for that to happen, the kingdoms that are in the earth right now must fall down. And there is a designed event for Babylon to fall, according to the Bible, in one day and then 1 hour. So get prepared when the grid system goes down. Have you got any food? Oh, I'm not worried about it, Pastor Buddy. Glory to God. I run down Kroger's. I run to Sam's. I run to Walmart. You may not. When I started this series, I started in the seals that were opened up in the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation. You need to go back and read. And I'm coming back with the final seals, or the angel's trumpets. There's 7 of those. And I'm going to blow each trumpet into each time segment that is now, between now and these events that I've been talking about that are coming. Now, did the Mayans know anything that Samuel didn't know? I doubt it. Well, did the Mayans know anything that Saul didn't know? I doubt it. Let me tell you something. Mass consciousness on a scale. These Mayans were not the people that you've been led to believe. They were not those dumb Mayan Indians that are down in South America. They're still hunting with a spear out there in some of the rivers, the Amazons and things. The people that built this great society and had this great timepiece. And it's a marvel, even now, that our scientists say that they were more accurate in time predicting than our calendars ever dared to be. There's something going on. What is to be has already been, and you need to tune in to what this wisdom is saying. There is a point of crossing when this worm that's eventually going to be turned to a worm, cast into hell, where the worm dieth not. Now, who's that? Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the one that's brought all of the evil, the torment. That's the troublemaker, if you will. Some would call him the side of negative versus the side of good, and it takes a negative and positive to work out your salvation with fear and trouble. That may be true. This may be an experience for you to learn. But the Bible says that the wicked are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Where do you stand tonight? Are you making preparation? Do you have a place that you could go to feed your family? It's doubtful. You say, well, Pastor Buddy, I just can't give up my life. You know, that's what they said in the days of Noah. When the preacher began to preach, he was cast aside. He was ridiculed. He was made fun of and mocked. And it kept on to the point where these evil beings from outer space, and when I say that, boy, I lose a lot of people. You know, where does the one you call Jesus, where does he live at? Where did he go back to? Did he go up to someplace in the heavens? You think he's just standing around up there in a spiritual sense, just lolling around and waiting and tapping the table of time with his fingers? You think he's on Rolaids? You think he's on Valium? You reckon that he might know what's going on? Do you reckon he that sits in the heavens, that's where he said he sits? He's got wounds in his hands right now. He is in a glorified flesh body with wounds, and he's going to prove it to you. But you better wise up and get this spiritual foolishness out of your mind that God is a little spirit, and he's just floating around up there, and there's nothing real up there, and you haven't thought about your Messiah since he left. Because he said, the same one that goes, the angel
angel said this. And some of these angels were the ones that bombed, whatever you want to call it, blowed up Sodom and Gomorrah. Some of these angels are the same ones that assisted Noah and the genetics. Remember, they were crossbreeding, mixing, marrying, giving in marriage to different kinds against Yahweh's will, against Yahweh's laws. And you are going to sit around until you're desperate, and then you're going to want to know, like Saul did, what's going on in the last days. Well, let me tell you something. It's going to be a time of trouble, and if you ain't ready, if you ain't gone to the mountains, if you haven't got food and raiment and clothing survival mode, if you don't have your family gathered up and prepared to flee from the wrath to come, head for the mountains. Did you hear the report that the low-lying areas, and I've warned you about the coastal area, you said, oh, it ain't going to come. That's a bloody Lord of God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, this trouble's coming not for the evil ones, but it's coming on behalf of the Jacobites. It'll become a time of Jacob's trouble, for he that cometh from the heavens, this one from the dark hole of space that comes from the deep, he's coming back to make war with the saints. He's going to literally wire you out. You better get ready, and you might lose some comfort along the way. Well, my time is just about coming down, and I appreciate being with you tonight, and I hope and trust that this series on 20 and 12 and its implications and the truth, before I get through, I'm going to show you the truth behind 20 and 12 and the great tactics to scare you, to create a mass hysteria and panic and fear. The Bible says in the last days that men's hearts will fail them for fear. Now, for fear of what? Something on a magnitude of a catastrophe, a calamity. And he that sits in the heavens, who has designed all of these times on a timeline that sometimes these wicked can look in on and see, including your government and the seers that work for them. They spend time, ladies and gentlemen, looking on the timelines. They have warp time. They know how these scientific laws work. They were given this information from the wicked ones who fell from heaven. Since the early to mid-40s, we have had an increase in activity of these beings that have visited the planet periodically and regularly. And they're not just doing this for fun. They're getting ready to prepare your mind. Just like the movie 20 and 12. Why is it so timely that they wait to bring this out? And if you've ever gone to see it, you can see something of some semblance of truth, as everything that is concealed mostly has to be revealed. And it's the wicked that conceal the knowledge from you. They hide things, grow into these shepherds, these pastors, because they give him the door. These are the chief priests of the high priest of knowledge. They give him the door, and they won't go in themselves and hinder them that would. You better get ready, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of things coming that you are not prepared for. And the Bible says, if I catch you eating and drinking with a drunken, that's not these, the voucher alcoholics, these derelicts that's laying on the street. These are these Upper Fifth Avenue, Wall Street, Rome, the Vatican. We're going to talk to you a little bit about the Pope and the prophecies of some of the things. And you may be looking at the last sitting Pope, sitting on his throne as the vicar of God, waiting patiently for someone to replace him. Now, who's he looking for? He's looking for God. Is God going to come? Yes, he is. Is he going to be Yahweh? No, he's not. Who's he going to be? He's going to be the God that the world worships. And Christianity Christianity is the seat of the beast created by the Roman Catholic Church. She's the great whore that corrupted all the earth, and she has her assistants. The other two religions are a subject to her. She's more powerful. She's more beautiful. She's a whore. She sits as a harlot. And when John saw her, he was amazed at her beauty and fell and was taken in and captive by her. Just like the world is today in the system that's been designed, got you eating, drinking, and being merry, watching your stock portfolio, and counting your money, counting all of your blessings, not prepared for the things to come. And if you're Jacob's sheep, you're in big trouble because the wolves are at your door. Be prepared. Well, I got to get off here tonight. You've been listening to Pastor Buddy and the Shepherd's Call. I'll be back tomorrow night. You don't want to miss it tomorrow night. We're getting into the final phases of 20 and 12 and the consequences and the true meaning of 20 and 12. You don't want to miss it. I'll be back there at 11 o'clock, a late hour for you on the East Coast. It'll be pleasant for you down in the Western States. It'll be right very timely for you, so you don't want to miss it. Bob will have this message recorded for you and up on the line, hopefully, sometime even by tomorrow. So all of the messages are there for you. The one from the dark hole, you need to get it. All of the copies that we're going to do, we're going to do several messages related to 20 and 12. We think it's very timely. You need to know. You need to make ready, and the time is now. Now call me, area code 423-626-2172. Now, again, that's area code 423-626-2172. You can write me. That's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, again, that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824.